forgiveness in our heart. Right. Amen. And so, you know, some of y'all ain't going to say amen. I get that. That's because it's going to hit some of y'all right upside your head. It's going to leave a knot. It's going to leave a scar. Amen. But you need to know. Amen. If it don't apply to you today, just put it in the shoebox. That's what my mother told me down in San Diego. Put it in the shoebox and put it on the shelf and you'll need it for later. Amen. But we want to talk today. So if you got a pen, get your pen out. Amen. Get a pen, get something to write on. Amen. Today I'm kind of teaching. We probably stay on this for a couple weeks. Amen. Because I want to make sure that everybody understands forgiveness. Amen. And it's very important. Forgiveness. Write it down. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. All right. Now, we understand that divine forgiveness. It's good to see Wendy Francis in the house. God bless you, Sister Wendy. Amen. Divine forgiveness is dependent on the loving nature of God. Amen. Can we agree with that? Yeah. Amen. And it is offered to all. But from us to God, God to us, even though forgiveness is offered to all, pardon is not. And what makes it hard for us to be pardoned, some of the impediments, some things that limit us to receiving divine forgiveness from God include stubborn unrepentance.
My God.
Mark 4 and 12.
Amen.
So that seeing they may see and not perceive. Some of y'all got your eyes open, but you're blind as a bat. And hearing, they may hear and not understand. You hear, but you can't comprehend what I'm telling you. Yeah. Amen. It's hard for you. Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. In other words, where you are at now will limit you from understanding God's will for your life later. Because you are holding your sin close to your heart. You are holding something so close that it limits you from receiving what God has for you. Hallelujah. But God can do anything. Yes, he can. But the one thing he has given us is what, people? Free will. Y'all look at me while I'm talking. Some of y'all don't want to look at me because I'm going to get right in your business today. I'm not trying to, but I'm going to reach deep down in your business on today. So we got some of y'all stubborn unrepentance. In other words, I don't want to repent. You comfortable with where you live and how you live. Another thing that stops divine forgiveness is unbelief. Hallelujah. I really don't believe God. I come in here and watch my parents shout. I come in here and watch. I see other people giving God glory. I don't think God can really do all that anyway.
Come on now.
And if he could, why would he save me? Why would he allow so many things to happen to me?
Come on.
I've been through hell and back. Yeah. How can God be God if I've had so much turmoil in my life? Acts 2, 37 and 38 says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Peter said to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Repent. There's another thing that we deny any wrongdoing in our life. You know, everybody know them people. They don't ever do nothing wrong. Anybody know them folks? Y'all come on, talk back to me now. This is the Church of God Christ, right? Hallelujah. This is the Church of God Christ, right? We do talk back to the preacher. Anybody know anybody that never do anything wrong? They always right. Everything they say is right. Everything they do is right. Yeah. You can't even answer them because they already got the answer. All right. So denial of wrongdoing. Find out in 1 John 1:8-10 where it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
All right.
And the truth is not in us. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar. Look at this now. We're supposed to be saved and sanctified. And the thing that you're supposed to tell the truth about where God has brought you from, you lying about it. We supposed to be saved saints. We should not be ashamed of where we have come from or the things that we've been delivered from. Y'all talk back to me. God has brought us out of some traumatic situation. If it had not been for God. Hallelujah. Some of y'all used to wake up in other people's beds. Some of y'all used to drink. Some of y'all used to smoke. Some of y'all still doing that. And God is still working on you. I know I wasn't going to get a whole bunch of hand clapping on that one. Because you're doing some things that God is still looking out for you. If somebody get in your business, you get upset about it. Stop denying what you're doing, especially when it's not of God. Saying that you tell everybody, just call them on the phone and say, this is what I'm doing. No. When God convicts you and let you know that what you're doing is not of him, and God begins to deliver you, you should not have a problem saying, God brought me out of some stuff. I used to, but I don't do that no more. I might struggle every now and then, but God is working on me. See, when you're transparent, other folk can get delivered through your transparency. See, but it's when you lie. And this is why sinners got a problem with the saints. Saints try to act like you didn't forgot where God had brought you from. You forgot. And so we denying wrongdoing. And the thing that we're going to be focusing on today is refusal to forgive other people. Focus for today comes out of Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, New King James Version. Hi, Sugar, how you doing?
Hi, Sugar.
That's Sister Roz. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. There's this writer named C.S. Lewis, and he says, forgiveness is a beautiful word. Until you have something or somebody to forgive. If you have spent any time in church at all, then you realize the importance of forgiveness. You know as well as I do that it is a biblical concept. You've read verses like our text, and you may even have been warned about the physical, emotional, and spiritual consequences of unforgiveness. And you are no doubt genuinely grateful for a God who was willing to take on human form and die an excruciating death so your sins could be forgiven. Why then, saints, beloved, why then is there such a discrepancy between our understanding of forgiveness and our willingness to grant it to others? See, we might understand it, but we don't operate by what we understand. Hallelujah. Some of y'all try not to say nothing because I'm too close to you. See, when I'm up back here, I can't really see, but I can see you good now. See, I can see you clearly now. Some of y'all trying to stay still. You don't want to give no telltale signs. You fighting with it. Forgiving somebody this very moment. There's a discrepancy. We understand forgiveness, but our willingness to forgive is down here. Hallelujah. There's an author named David Siemens. He observed that most emotional problems among Christians are caused by the failure to understand, receive, and live out God's unconditional love, forgiveness, and grace to other people. He says, the good news of the gospel has not penetrated the levels of our emotions. Listen to this now. We don't understand the gospel, but we will not allow it to go past our emotional state. Listen to this. Listen to this. We'll come up in here and give God glory, but as soon as something goes wrong, we get emotional, and if I cuss you out, see, the Holy Ghost ought to move past our emotional state. If you're going to be saints of God, then your emotions are subject to the Holy Ghost. Woo! Stop giving in. I'm saved, but if you mess with me, I'll get you. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We'll believe God all the way till we feel something. And we feel a certain type of way, then we don't want to have nothing. God, I got you. I know you got my back. And that's where thoughts like this come out. God knows my heart. We say that as a cop-out, as an excuse to excuse our behavior. And the thing that's even crazier, we don't even ask for repentance. We don't even ask God to forgive us. We just figure that's a byproduct of my emotional being at that particular time.
All right.
Some of y'all we're getting somewhere. Issue of forgiveness, it touches us every day.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now, occasionally, it's a major crisis that forces us to choose between forgiveness and unforgiveness. For instance, an unfaithful spouse.
Uh-oh.
That's a big thing. Male and female. You be ready to cut somebody. Y'all gonna talk back to me. And if you can't look at me, that's because you either the one that cheated or you the one that got cheated on. And you done thought about 10 different ways to try to cut their throat if you can get away with it. Hallelujah. You had a divorce that you didn't want. You had an unfair termination from your job. You were unfairly treated and felt like they treated you wrong and fired you unfairly from your job, you, maybe, well, I'm going to go a little deep on you, maybe you had experienced sexual abuse as a child. And see, that's why some of y'all fight with God now. As you question, how can God be real if I went through what I went through? How can God allow me to go through that? Now, this ain't on my script right here, but let me put the silver lining in your situation. Honey, brother, you still here. You should have been going through it. But God is a keeper. And no matter what they did to your exterior, God didn't allow your spirit, your soul to be damaged to the point where he couldn't reach you. That's why I believe God. I myself am a product of some abuse. But God brought me through. I don't want to kill nobody. I'm not mad with God. If it had not been for the Lord, hallelujah, that looked out for me. There's all types of abuse that go on.
All types.
Better chances than not that you experience something in your life. Hallelujah. Maybe you had an experience where something that has damaged your reputation has got out, is not true, and they said it's true. And everywhere you go, people talking about you. Hallelujah. But on the flip side of that, there are some offenses now that are not as serious, but we fight with them every day. Amen.
Amen.
But regardless of the size of the offense, forgiveness is not usually the preferred response. In other words, we prefer not to forgive. Right?
Amen.
We prefer to get vengeance.
Amen.
But the Bible says, vengeance is mine. If vengeance belongs to God, why are you trying to get revenge? Now, let me go back to Matthew. He says, if you forgive men their trespasses, it didn't say what trespasses. So it must encompass everything.
Everything.
So whatever's been done to you, there is an obligation for you to forgive.